I sold my car on Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle gets underway live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Welcome to FFC. I am Ben Stevens. Scott Wetzel filling in today for Joe Lisi. We're bringing the fun here on Football Full Circle as training camp across the National Football League extends into its third week. We will have a full slate of preseason games starting on Thursday. Scott, games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The first full-blown week of preseason number one. Are you excited for some preseason football?
Yeah, I guess so. Why not? Okay. We all put a couple shekels on it. You know, I'm curious to see a couple of quarterback battles. I thought it was kind of funny that they're already booing Giants quarterback yesterday in the spring training practice. So, you know, a couple of these things are interesting. I don't put too much stock into the stuff. I am kind of a calm before the storm. I wait for the regular season to really kind of kick in. But there's a few games, and you got to put some money on it for sure.
This past weekend, there was a lot of excitement around the NFL because a lot of teams hosting those open practices in their home stadiums in front of large crowds of fans, including at MetLife Stadium, for the Giants in front of the big blue faithful, if you will, who do not have a ton of faith, it seems, in Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones missing a couple of passes in that open practice session that led to the Boo Birds coming out at MetLife Stadium. It will be the Giants, Scott, that get week number one fully of this preseason underway on Thursday night in Foxborough against the Patriots. The Giants right now actually booked as a 2-point road favorite, a total that you will often see for preseason NFL games and over under at 33.5. Scott, if you were to handicap preseason games, what's the first area you look?
You know what? It's my philosophy. Go opposite of what everyone else is thinking. And everyone else is thinking unders, especially in these first round games. I'm going to go over because you got a lot of new head coaches, Ben. And I think new head coaches, one of my philosophies is go for the guys that want to create a winning tradition, right? You know, 9 times out of 10, a guy's taken over because the team stunk. Not the case with the Raiders. That may be the one exception last year. But so they want to instill this winning attitude. And that starts in the preseason. So they put generally a little more importance into these preseason games. So that might be like my number one rule. Give me the rookie head coach who you know wants to set that winning tradition and they take these things a little more seriously.
I think it's a good point, right? If you have a competitive team, if you need to figure out some spots on your depth chart, who's going to be wide receiver one, who's going to start at right guard, or maybe even a quarterback competition where you're bargaining between two guys trying to find that starting spot, then I think that allows for maybe more competitive football in the preseason. Or you have Josh McDaniels last week at the Hall of Fame game in front of his hometown crowd in Canton, Ohio, spurring on his team, like Scott said, as a first-year head coach in his inaugural game as that head man for Las Vegas, having that fight out of his team. And Scott, as we look around the National Football League this weekend, and as we dive into the NFC East, Dak Prescott has talked about what he expects in this year for the Dallas Cowboys, but currently as the favorites to win that divisional crown within the NFC East. But Scott, as we well know, we have not seen a repeat champion in the NFC East division since 2004, and the Cowboys won the division last year in 2021. The Eagles have the second best odds, only 60 cents behind the Cowboys at plus 185. Scott, is the historic trend of the NFC East of not having a back-to-back champ now in nearly 2 decades enough to have you look away from Dallas this upcoming season?
That really is, Ben, right? One of the more remarkable things. I mean, we're not talking about a division of 6, 7, 8, 9 teams. We're talking about a division of 4 teams, and they haven't had a repeat champ in 18 years. And that is amazing. I will tell you this. I do think we're going to get one. I know winners bet win streaks, losers bet against streaks, but I think Dallas is going to repeat. Dallas has, get a load of this, Dallas has 6 games against teams that will have less rest than them. You know, meaning a team's going to come off maybe a Monday night game, or Dallas is, playing for a Saturday and then they get the extra day, or whatever the case may be. But that's most teams, that's the most in NFL history. Most have 2, maybe 3 circumstances like that. Dallas has 6. So they got an easy schedule to begin with, and now they got 6 games in which they're going to have an extra day's rest over their opponent team. It's hard not to like the Cowboys in that division.
And maybe it's because of that division and that nobody is playing the most stellar brand of football at times that all 4 teams, based on the projected strength of schedule on win totals for 2022, all 4 teams within the NFC East have 4 of the 10 easiest schedules in the National Football League. The Giants, based on the projected win totals of their opponents, have the easiest schedule. Philly number 2, Washington number 6, and Dallas the 10th easiest schedule in the National Football League. The Cowboys win total is 10.5. The under has the juice at -130. The Eagles win total is 9.5. The over has the juice at -130. Expected to be at least a competitive battle for that top spot within the NFC East. And again, that's a regular season market. If you win your divisional title, it must pertain to your win total, because as you stack up those wins for your overall record, obviously in better footing to win that divisional crown. However, it's a postseason conversation at times around the Dallas Cowboys, who have won just 3 playoff games, 3-16, that postseason record since 1995. We have a college football poll to discuss just hot off the presses up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A fresh preseason poll for college football off the presses right now as we get ready for 2022. Welcome back to Football Full Circle here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. We are less than 3 weeks away from the start of a new college football season. 3 weeks away from week 0. Well, under 3 weeks now. Less than 3 Saturdays. Just 2 standing in our way until Saturday, August 27th. And Scott, we have the preseason USA Today Top 25 coaches poll, and the top really shouldn't look all that surprising to anybody out there. Alabama is ranked number 1. Ohio State is 2. Georgia 3. Clemson is number 4. And Notre Dame rounds out the top 5. Then Michigan at number 6. Texas A&M ranked 7th. Utah at number 8 in the country. Oklahoma 9. Baylor 10. Oklahoma State 11. Oregon 12th. NC State 13th. Michigan State 14th. USC 15th. I'll continue rolling through the top 25 just to paint the picture, and we'll break it down peg by peg. Pittsburgh is 16th. Miami is 17th. Texas checks in at number 18 in the country. Wake Forest, number 19. Wisconsin rounds out the top 20. Kentucky at 21. Cincy is number 22. Arkansas is 23rd in the country. Ole Miss 24th. And Houston is 25, rounding out the USA Today Top 25 preseason coaches poll. Scott, let's start at the top. Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, and Notre Dame. Any surprises in that top 5?
I won't say surprises. I always like to give the defending champ the benefit of the doubt the next year if, in fact, they're still going to be good. You know, they don't drop off the map. So I would have put Georgia number 1 just because of that. Notre Dame number 5. Well, I tell you, as an Irish fan, I hope they're right about the expectations for this team. New head coach, new quarterback. When everything is said and done, that might be just a TV network. Hey, guys, throw us a bone. We got Notre Dame versus Ohio State, and we want to be able to sell sell this as two top five teams. I got a feeling with everything is said and done, Notre Dame might not be in the top 10. That's a little bit of a surprise. But other than that, no, I mean, that's they're still buying into Clemson and DJ Ukulele, the quarterback. He better make some good strides. I'm joking with his name. He better make some strides from what they had last year, I'll tell you that. Otherwise, they're in a lot of trouble. But no, that's who you expected, I suppose. Notre Dame, a little bit familiar.
Yeah. Uyunglele is DJ's last name there. DJU, as many refer to him as the head or as the starting quarterback for Clemson University. So as it goes, at least based on the odds, the top four follow the exact order that we see on the FanDuel Sportsbook from that perspective of winning a national championship. Alabama is the favorite, plus 180. Ohio State, the second best price at plus 300. They vaulted past Georgia at some point earlier this offseason. UGA is plus 350 as your defending champions, and Clemson is 8-1, rounding out the top four. And of course, the top four always very important from a college football playoff perspective, as only four teams make the CFP at this moment. But Notre Dame is down there a little bit. Notre Dame right now is tied for the has the ninth best odds by themselves at the moment on the FanDuel Sportsbook at 60-1. But that's behind USC. That's behind A&M. That's behind Oklahoma and Michigan, who are both at 50-1. USC is 20-1, and A&M is 25-1. So maybe a bump for Notre Dame just based on that public perception. But from the coaches' poll here, Scott, not the media perspective, coaches seem to be giving some love to what Notre Dame brings back in South Bend this year, and mainly with their new head man for the Fighting Irish in Marcus Freeman. His first year as the head coach in South Bend. Of course, last year, the defensive coordinator under Brian Kelly, before Brian Kelly jumped ship to Baton Rouge to be the head coach of LSU. But I think it is intriguing, Scott, and it's not all that unrealistic in college football, or all that, it's not an unnormal thing. Can't find the word to describe what I'm looking for here, but we do see at times, even among the best teams in college football, a matchup of number 3 versus number 9, or a matchup of number 2 in the country versus number 12, we can see hefty point spreads. And Ohio State opens the season at home in Columbus against Notre Dame. Just based on the USA Today coaches preseason poll, that's number 2 in the country hosting number 5 in the country. A top 5 tilt, and Ohio State is a 15.5 point favorite live right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Maybe it goes to show how good Ohio State is expected to be, or maybe that Notre Dame isn't necessarily deserving of that fifth bill in the country, according to the coaches.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of this stuff is based on, now again, you're right, this is coaches, so I don't know if they would necessarily include this in their thinking, but a lot of this stuff, Ben, is based on their schedule. Like Michigan, is Michigan really the sixth best team in the country, or is Michigan suited best to get to that Final Four because their schedule is a joke? So, you wonder about certain things like, Clemson too. You know, is Clemson really great national championship Clemson, or is Clemson, number 4 because they're playing in the ACC, and they don't have a tough game on their schedule. I mean, so they're going to win some of these, most of these games. That's what you kind of wonder. But that's college football, though. You're right. I mean, it's a great point. You got the number 2 versus the number 5, and whether you want to argue Notre Dame should be 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever they are, you got two of the top teams in the country, and you got a point spread over 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's just crazy.
And it's only worked in favor of Ohio State. The early opening line was around 13.5. Again, still a hefty spread for what might be a top 5 tilt, but it has continued to go in favor of the Buckeyes. And if we're seeing this much early movement for a game played week number 1, that first full Saturday of the college football season, and it's already garnering that much attention, then maybe there's something to the credence that Ohio State is going to be one of those teams in contention for a college football playoff national championship all season long. The second best price, some of the most movement we have seen in a positive direction throughout these offseason months as it pertains to winning that national title, and of course that line for week number 1 working in their favor. So as we go from the top 5, Scott, throughout the rest of this poll, a very interesting distinction here for the first place votes received in the preseason USA Today coaches poll. Alabama got 64. No surprise there. Georgia, the reigning national champions, should get some first place votes. They had 6, the second most. Ohio State had 5, and then Texas, Scott. Texas had 1 first place vote. Texas is ranked 18th in the preseason poll for the USA Today coaches poll. 18th, but they got one first place vote. Somebody out there believes Texas is back.
Maybe it's Texas, you know. Maybe it's Steve Sarkisian, you know. Maybe, or at least it's his SID who usually fills these things out, not the head coaches, because you're not prevented from voting for yourself. That's where I'm assuming that one first place vote came from. But all right, you want to go there? One, sure. Go ahead. Show a little chutzpah there. How about the fact only? You know, and I say that, you know, but only five SEC teams in the top 25. Now, three in the top seven, but, you know, they've opened the door up here to Cincinnati and Kentucky. Or, well, actually, number six. I forgot about Kentucky. Six teams.
Yep.
You got some teams that you don't normally see, right? Wake Forest or Mississippi is in there. You don't generally see them. Houston. So some teams in the SEC, I know that, but, you know, you don't generally see a Houston, Cincinnati, Wake Forest. What would have been a parlay? Top 25 teams ranked in the coaches poll. Wake Forest, Houston, and Cincinnati like 2-3 years ago. And then you got all three this year.
Yeah. I mean, a couple years ago, you probably would have got some good value on that, seeing that this has been yeah. a two-year plan for a lot of these teams. The group of five teams that have been in contention for a college football playoff spot or a New Year's Six Bowl, it's been a long-standing process to get this national relevance and respect. However, I think when you look at Cincy this year, that's the respect garnered off of the last 2 years under Luke Fickell. I don't necessarily expect Cincinnati to be a top 25 team all season long. Of course, they lost so much from last year's team that made it to the college football playoff, their quarterback in Desmond Ridder, one of their best wide receivers in Alec Pierce, and on the defensive side of the football, Sauce Gardner, who was a top four pick for the New York Jets in this past draft. We'll continue to break down the USA Today top 25 coaches poll, because one team stands out to me among the rest, and that's USC at number 15 in the country. Yep. Very different from where the odds have the USC Trojans entering 2022. We'll break it down next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on Football Full Circle, the preseason USA Today Top 25 Coaches poll is now out. Again, no shockers at the top necessarily. Alabama is number one, Ohio State second in the country, Georgia number three, Clemson number four, and Notre Dame rounds out the top five. Is Notre Dame ranked a tad too high? Maybe, just maybe. But the real shocker to me, Scott, is where USC finds itself, ranked 15th in the country, because preseason polls, whether decided by the coaches or the AP media voters, it all comes down to the idea of what have you earned and what reward should you have to get to this point based on past success, but also what do you bring back and what is the optimism like and what are the new faces and new places that you have added for this upcoming season. And based on that optimism, USC, at least according to the odds, is way, way up there, because the Trojans, who were a 4-8 football team a season ago, both straight up and against the spread, have the fifth best price to win the national championship on FanDuel at 20-1. USC, again, a 4-win football team a season ago, is booked as the favorites right now to win the Pac-12 at +150. Yet, according to the coaches, Scott, in this USA Today Top 25 poll, USC is middle of the pack, ranked 15th in the country.
Yeah, how weird is that? And they're behind a couple of teams, Oregon and Utah, in their own conference, which they're, you know, favorites. So it's, to me, it's a public thing, right? And people are they gonna bet Oregon? Are they gonna bet Utah? Are they gonna bet USC? Oh yeah, Lincoln Riley. Yeah, there you go. That's where the money's gonna go. You know, that's based on money. This is based on what the coaches actually think. I'm actually surprised they're even that high, to tell you the truth, Ben. And I'm a little disappointed that UCLA is not in the top 25. I would have put them in there. I would have given that based on what they have coming back and what Chip Kelly's, you know, doing there versus, you know, Lincoln Riley just coming in there and stepping in and having instant success, which I don't know if he necessarily will have. So, but it is kind of interesting. You know, they got three teams that are in the top 17 with FanDuel, but not even ranked. Tennessee, Penn State, and LSU. all not ranked, close getting those extra votes. You know, they're near there, but they're not, and yet they're in the top 17 when it comes to FanDuel. So you'll see some discrepancies like that. It's kind of interesting to point out.
Yeah, you'll see those discrepancies throughout the year for sure. But USC's win total right now is 9.5. It's a number the Trojans have not gone over for 4 straight seasons, and they have not gone over in the regular season in, I believe it is, if I do my math correctly here, 7 of the last 8 years. The only time over was back in 2017 when the Trojans won 11 games throughout that regular season. So that's pretty interesting when you see that 9.5 for USC, a team that has the over juiced at minus 135 to win at least 10 games this upcoming season, but ranked 15th in the country. That's pairing the poll with the odds perspective. They are often skewed, as some are based on the eye test and maybe thoughts by fellow coaches in the country about the certain status of a program based on what the numbers or algorithms might present in terms of projecting out a new season, and of course influenced by where the public money is coming in as well. Because Scott, some of those other teams that rank in the top 10 right now also have some pretty good odds for a national championship. Again, Notre Dame, the 9th best price at 60-1. Michigan and Oklahoma, 6th and 9th respectively in those polls, check in at 50-1. And A&M has the 6th best price at 25-1. Utah in there as well within the top 10 best odds at 80-1. They all check in within the top 10. Those are going to be the teams, Scott, that if anybody is going to disrupt the top, that would be Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson. Those would be the teams, in my estimation, Michigan, A&M, Utah, Oklahoma, given where they are in the preseason rankings and what conferences they play in, that would have the best opportunity to have a shot of making the college football playoff.
Yeah. How about do you see this year Cincinnati? You could say Cincinnati again at 22, Houston at 25, but some of these smaller teams, Ben, that, you know, I always like to have hope, you know, whether it's Texas, San Antonio, or Coastal Carolina, you know, San Diego State, you know, you don't really have any of that, you know, outside of Cincy and Houston. It's going to be real difficult for one of those Cinderella teams to duplicate what Cincinnati did last year. And of course, Cincinnati had the impetus of what they did 2 years ago. But I would have thought that like a Texas San Antonio, would have gotten a little bit more love. One vote for a team that finished undefeated in regular season last year. But I don't see one, you know, unless something really crazy happens, being able to make that kind of run like the Bearcats did last year.
And that generally, again, as we saw from what Cincinnati did in 2020 versus also what they did last year in 2021, going undefeated in the regular season and AAC conference championship as well, that is a 2-year process. It was what Cincinnati did in 2020 and what they were able to back it up in 2021. Agree with it or not, that is the barometer the Group of Five needs to overcome to get a spot at the table in the college football playoff. If you look at Houston right now, Scott, the Cougars, the final team in the top 25 of the coaches poll. Their schedule does not look all that difficult. Their first 2 weeks on the road at UTSA. That's the first full Saturday of the year. Of course, the Roadrunners were a fascinating team to follow last year. And at least according to the odds, Houston, even on the road in San Antonio, is nearly a touchdown favorite, laying 6.5 against the Meet Roadrunners. Then the next week, Houston takes on another in-state foe. That would be Texas Tech out of the Big 12. It's the first year under Joey McGuire. There is some optimism in Lubbock. We'll see exactly how that looks. But let's say Houston can get past those opening 2 games. The rest of their schedule, especially as they get into conference play within the AAC, is not all that difficult. On the road at SMU, that first Saturday in November might be their toughest test. They have to go on the road at Memphis on a Friday night game to open up the month of October. That's also going to be very, very difficult. But Houston has a potential, especially if they get past those first 2 weeks of the year, and then week number 3 in one of their final non-conference games is against Kansas. Houston has an opportunity to maybe at least be alive in that Cinderella conversation, if you will, for a spot in the college football playoff or at least a new year's 6 bowl appearance.
Yeah, that's true. You know, because especially if Texas Tech can have a halfway decent year, or in Texas San Antonio, you know, I don't know what that loss to them would probably, you know, take them out of the spectrum of people making note of that victory. But, yeah, that Kansas-Rice-Tulane, I mean, Topeka High could go 3-0 with that schedule. So they could be 5-0. You're right. That Friday night, and it's a Friday night game, too, on the four-letter network against at Memphis. That would be the one if Memphis, you know, look at their schedule. They could be undefeated heading into that game as well. A little Friday night game, a little buzz with that one. They would have Mississippi State, Navy, Arkansas State, Texas Temple. Yeah, they, you know, well, they got Houston before that. Before the Temple game. So that could be a 5-0 versus a 5-0. That might be the one that would kind of put the, you know, either Houston or Memphis on the map.
Right. And Houston doesn't have to play Cincinnati in the regular season as of right now. There might be a matchup like we saw last year between the two in the AAC title game. However, as of right now, the regular season schedule does not include the Bearcats for Houston, allowing the Cougs and Dana Holgorsen a pretty good path, you would think, to another appearance in that championship game. And they have Clayton Tune back, what feels like it's his ninth year on campus, but they have that consistency for Houston entering 2022. In fact, Scott, when you look at the odds right now, the Cougars have the highest win total in the ACC, at least based on number. It's 9.5. The under has the juice at -135. Cincinnati's win total is 9. The over has the juice at -140. As you look at the American and the odds to win a conference championship, Houston is the slight favorite, +250 ahead of Cincinnati and UCF on there as well. Both Cincy and UCF at +250. I don't believe, if I'm looking, Houston doesn't also have UCF on their schedule throughout the regular season. So that goes for some value, at least, you would have to think, for the Cougs to be +200. Sure, the betting favorites, I understand that, but 50 cents ahead of two teams in Cincinnati and Central Florida, they don't have to play in the regular season, which should not hamper their ability, at least, to a potential matchup in a conference championship game.
Yeah, I tell you what, Ben, they could go, you know, 12-0 and not even come close to making it with that schedule. I mean, if Texas Tech isn't anything special, and we don't expect them to be, that really is such an easy schedule. We kind of got the Cinderella story out of our system last year with Cincinnati, right? I mean, they would really, you know, but I don't see it. Literally, they could go 12-0 and not get in and not even come close to getting in.
Yeah,
that schedule being so easy.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to the idea that since he had to have a two-year process to even remotely get a seat at the table, that could have been taken from them had Oklahoma State not been inches short of beating Baylor in that Big 12 championship game. So much has to work in your favor. Again, is it right? Is it fair based on just being a Group of Five program and what you have to do to have that idea of even being competitive for a spot? That's for another time for you to decide, but that is the status quo that we know the CFP sets for a Group of Five teams. So Houston, maybe if they go 12-0 this year and return a ton of talent, maybe next year in 2023 is when they start to be maybe more of a legitimate contender, at least in the preseason, to have a college football playoff spot. Because as of right now, Scott, there's so many things that would have to break in favor of the Cougs outside of their own control of having a perfect undefeated regular season and winning an American Athletic Conference championship game. There's so much outside of their own purview that would need to go their way before they could even have a spot in the college football playoff, and that would be teams out of the Pac-12 like USC or Utah faltering in a big way, or a one-loss conference champion out of the Big 12 having a really terrible record and maybe not even being, if you have a one-loss Power 5 champion, there's a lot that works against you. We saw that break in favor of Cincinnati a season ago. We'll continue to go around football here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The coaches' poll is out in college football, and again, we have broken down the different layers of this. A couple of closing thoughts from me, Scott, before we transition back into the National Football League. Again, the biggest thing that stands out to me, USC ranks 15th in the country when the Trojans have the fifth best odds right now to win a college football playoff national championship on the FanDuel Sportsbook. A disparity between the odds makers in projecting success based on the numbers for the Trojans in 2022 and maybe some of that public optimism as well from how the coaches see the landscape of college football. What also stands out to me, Scott, is only four Big Ten teams in the top 25, all within the top 20, of course, led by Ohio State at number 2, Michigan number 6, Michigan State ranks 14th, and then Wisconsin checks in at number 20. Scott, as we discussed, I believe, and I think the standard of what a preseason poll should be, is rewarding team success from last season based on past success and past performance, with also blending that into the outlook and the optimism of projecting success out for the upcoming year. And by that standard, I'm surprised that Iowa and Penn State are not ranked in the top 25. I know they have the most of the teams in terms of receiving votes. They're right on the outside looking in. But I was surprised not to see the Hawkeyes, who were a 10-win football team last year and represented the Big Ten West in that conference championship game, and a Penn State team that has a win total at 8 and the over juiced at minus 145, not within the top 25 to begin the season.
Yeah, and I got a feeling, you know, if you put Iowa's the one that really surprised. I thought for sure they would be in there. If you put Iowa up against Houston, Neutral Field, or Cincinnati, or maybe even Kentucky, or Wake Forest, and I like that Wake Forest team, they would be favored, right? I mean, and you might be able to say the same thing about Penn State. So I take this stuff with a grain of salt. I don't doubt for a second Iowa and Penn State will, you know, well, you know, with wins their first week or two, they'll find a way into this top 25 thing. But just the lack of respect for Iowa's program. I mean, you're right. I mean, they get to the Big Ten championship game and they got a lot of people coming back, and they're not even ranked in the top 25. But you're going to put Cincinnati, that lost their star quarterback, in, and you're going to put Houston in and some of these others. The respect that, like, the Miamis and the USC's, Ben, that have really done nothing. Texas, you know, well, what has Texas done over the last 15 years, basically? And they got to go back to Vince Young, yet they're going to find a way into the rankings, and yet teams that have done things, like Iowa, are not going to get in. LSU not in either, I thought was, you know, now that's necessarily a surprise, but I don't know if people, I don't know what they view with Brian Kelly. Are they going to be really good? Are they going to be really bad? It's kind of one of those toss-up teams, I suppose.
Yeah, and LSU, again, in that large portion of teams receiving votes just on the outside looking in. But again, it is surprising because I understand Iowa's win total for this year is 7.5, and the under has the juice. We're expecting a lot of regression for the Hawkeyes, but it's confusing to me, Scott, because we know what Iowa football is. They're going to run the ball. Yes, they lose Tyler Goodson from last year, but they'll always have a good stable of running backs in Iowa City. They have a wonderful offensive line, and they're going to play really good defense, and they're going to take the ball away, and Phil Parker is still the defensive coordinator. I think one of the most underrated defensive coordinators in all of the sport, and they have so much talent returning on that defensive side, led by their safety in Riley Moss, who is back. They lose talent offensively, and there's many questions around Spencer Petras or Alex Padilla, who's going to be that quarterback. But again, Iowa, a 10-win football team a season ago in the regular season, and that win total is 7.5. It's a number that Iowa has gone over in six straight full seasons in college football. Six straight full seasons. Actually, except for 2017, they only won 7 regular season games, capped it off with a victory in that Pinstripe Bowl. So 5 of the last 6 full seasons, Iowa has won at least 8 football games. And even in 2020, Scott, when the Hawkeyes only played 8 games, they lost their first 2, then they rattled off 6 straight to end out the year, and then parlayed that into 10 wins last regular season. So intrigued, again, to not see Iowa crack the top 25. I know they're the team right on the outside, number 26, if you want to go there. And the coaches poll, in my estimation, when you compare preseason polls, really pales in comparison to the AP poll. That's the standard that we use. Most sports media places, if you reference a team, oh, they're ranked 7th in the country, it's the AP poll until we get to the CFP rankings later on in November. But still, it gives us a little bit of fodder here on
how about this
program. Yeah, go ahead.
Last one real quickly for me. No Mountain West team. You know, no Boise State, no San Diego State. You know, Fresno State was pretty good last year. Utah State, that everyone seems to love, right, this year, has given them a shot to win some games. Not one Mountain, and I love the Mountain West. You know, it's the late games, right? The West Coast bailout special Saturday night. Give me Fresno State versus, you know, San Diego State. Great football. But not one made the top 25.
Yeah, I think that's a good point as well. Utah State, Scott, is my pick to win the Mountain West Conference this upcoming season. The reigning conference champions who have their quarterback back and so much talent returning for the Aggies, yet they have the fifth best odds to win the conference championship this year. A lot of love, of course, given to Boise State, as it always is. And as we talk about returning talent, by the way, just something to keep in mind, Iowa has the most returning talent of any team in the Big Ten West for this upcoming season. And a lot of that defensively, which again is going to carry the water for the Hawkeyes at most junctures. All right, Scott, back to the National Football League. Some contract extension news for the Baltimore Ravens. And no, it is not Lamar Jackson. Justin Tucker, the best kicker in the NFL, is going to get paid as the best kicker in the NFL. He has signed a four-year, $24 million extension that includes $17.5 million guaranteed and an $11.5 million signing bonus. That's according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. He is now the NFL's highest paid kicker. Scott, frankly, I think that is deserved. Justin Tucker is as reliable as you get at the place kicker position.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, if you would have read the headline, Ravens signed player to highest contract ever, right? You're thinking, all right, they finally signed Lamar Jackson, and it turns out it's the place kicker. So, you know, Lamar's got to be saying, you're willing to give a place kicker the all-time highest amount, but you're not willing to give it to the quarterback. So, listen, the guy's automatic, right? He really is. It's not so much that he doesn't deserve it, Ben. Is he that much better than a guy you could get for $2 million a year? That's the question that these teams have to ask themselves with these kickers. It's not that the guy's not any good. He's clearly great, but is he worth $6 million, $6.5 million when you can pay a guy $2 million and you have an extra $4.5 million to go elsewhere?
It's a good question. I would say Justin Tucker is worth that because his 66-yard blast for Baltimore last year, that's the longest field goal now in NFL history that beat the Detroit Lions. It hit the upright and went over. I think he is worth that money because he not only has the leg to hit and break NFL records, he is that reliable. The stats that Justin Tucker has on a yearly basis is guaranteed points, and at a certain point, I think that is worth a payday. So, yeah, I think Justin Tucker is an upgrade from a lot of these kickers because that can make or break games, and we've seen that be the case. And I'm a big fan of the kickers here in years past, where if it's a 2.5-point spread and you're back in the Ravens, you can feel pretty good that, hey, the odds makers expect this to be a close and competitive game. It's under that key number of 3. Yet, if it comes down to a last-second field goal within the final minutes of the game, I know that Justin Tucker is going to put Baltimore in a pretty good position to have that game-winning or potential game-winning kick and probably nail it through the upright. So, yeah, I think Justin Tucker is worth the money. That's my opinion on it.
Bad news for Jet fans. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. Rich Cimini covered the Jets for the New York Newsday. Excuse me. Second play of practice today, Mekhi Becton, remember the former number one pick, who suffered the injury last year, apparently re-injures his repaired right knee, limps off to the locker room. He's limping badly, he tweeted. That could be nothing. It could be something. But he tweeted that this afternoon. So, Jet fans, your Cinderella season already may be going up in smoke. It's amazing.
It is so interesting, Scott, because with how active Twitter is and these beat reporters are that cover practice on a daily basis, of course, they are going to tweet out that update. They are going to give us that news. But a lot of times you'll see an update, and then an hour later after practice, a head coach asked about it or a positional coach asked about it, and they'll be like, oh, not a big deal. Just want to make sure we're being cautious here in training camp. So that is something to obviously take into account, especially when it's the guy that is supposed to be blocking the blind side of your second-year quarterback in Zach Wilson, where you have, hopefully, that room for optimism and growth entering 2022. And given Mekhi Becton and his injury history, you want to make sure that he stays healthy because any nick and bump, even now, is slightly concerning. The biggest thing that you try to avoid in preseason, in training camp, is those devastating injuries for the majority of a season or a couple of weeks even into a season. If it happens now, he's out for 2 weeks of camp, all right. It slightly delays his process, but he's back and ready to go for week number one. So it's all about weighing out the immediacy of getting those reports and getting those updates with how significant is that news. If you get news later today from Robert Saleh that Mekhi Becton is expected to be out for multiple weeks, oh, yeah, that is cause for concern. If he limps out of practice on the second play, but maybe he comes back later or they see him on the sideline later and there's that update, then I don't think you should be obviously overly concerned. But it's weighing those two sentiments throughout the preseason that I think is very interesting to do.
Yeah, and as Jet fans, you know, they're the pessimist group, and rightfully so. You know, they're saying that this has got to be the worst thing in the world. And you're right, it could be nothing, could be, you know, haven't seen any other update on that. That was about an hour ago from a couple of guys that tweeted that out. But, you know, the Jet fan right now, Ben, is saying he's done. Unstinking believable. He's got torn ACL, torn MCL, torn this, torn that. He's thinking this is the end of the world already for the Jets. So, but disappointing news for sure. But hopefully we'll find out something before we're through here.
So, Scott, it sounds like to me that maybe you are not as optimistic about Zach Wilson entering year number two for the Jets as maybe some of the public, because the 5.5 win total is a small number by relative comparison, but the over has the juice at minus 160. So you're not buying into the Zach Wilson hype entering year two, I take it.
No, I am not. I got to see. Listen, they made some nice additions, and everyone talks about how great they did, Ben, in the draft. It's like, well, listen, they had three picks in the top whatever it was, 10 or 12. How can't you do well? I mean, well, you know, in today's day and age, you know, what are you going to do, draft guys that were being, you know, supposedly drafted in the fourth round? So, yeah, so they did well. I get all that stuff, but it's still the Jets. And Zach Wilson, out of all the quarterbacks, even Trey Lance and even Justin Fields, I thought Wilson looked not even close, by far the worst out of that group last year. He's got to make some tremendous strides for me to really believe that the Jets are going to be any good this year. He was awful last year. Listen, they had third string quarterbacks come in, as we remember, and play a lot better than what this guy did. So, no, I got to see something out of Wilson to make me believe this Jets team is anything. I would go under.
Yeah, I think there's some optimism for how Zach Wilson looked the final 3-4 weeks of the NFL regular season last year, and then all of the weapons that he has at his disposal. They have accumulated a decent amount of young talent on that New York Jets, especially on the offensive side of that roster. I would also agree, though, Scott. I think I need to see a little bit more of incremental success for the Jets before diving in necessarily to a win total. And obviously, I wouldn't pay the juice at minus 160 to a win total either way, regardless. And it's also putting that in comparison, right? Like, even the odds makers, if you're slightly optimistic about the Jets, you post a win total of 5.5, even if the over has the juice at minus 160 and they make good on that price and they win six games, there's still a 6-11. Football team through the 17-game regular season we have. So it's putting that into perspective and that expectation level that maybe it's an upgrade for the Jets to win six games this year. It certainly would be, but what does that really mean in the long term? All right, we finish up Football Full Circle up next here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A couple more minutes left on Football Full Circle here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Scott Wetzel filling in today for Joe Lisi, and I am Ben Stevens. And Scott, we just brought you an update from training camp for the New York Jets. Monitor the situation around Mekhi Becton leaving practice early today with a non-contact injury. Hopefully it is good news soon following practice for their young left tackle trying to protect the blind side, of course, of second-year quarterback in Zach Wilson. And it's hard to decipher sometime what is a serious injury out of camp and what might just be a quick update followed up by good news later. But what we do know about training camp is oftentimes it can get a little heated between even members of the same team. And that was the case for the other New York football team. No, not the Buffalo Bills, but that plays their football in New Jersey. That would be the New York Giants. Apparently today at Giants camp, according to Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News, Saquon Barkley lowered his shoulder into Aaron Robinson during thud tempo, and the defense did not like it, especially linebacker Tay Crowder. Then Giants center, John Feliciano, grabs Crowder's head three plays later, pulled it down, and tried to knee him in the face, WWE style. I am reading off the tweets of Pat Leonard right now. Offensive line coach Bobby Johnson then pushes linebacker Cam Brown. Then Feliciano sucker punches Brown. Mayhem. What a disaster. Can't believe Feliciano. All started by Barkley, who had McKinney in his face for starting it. So tempers flaring in a big, big way at Giants practice today at training camp, Scott.
Wow. Didn't Brian Daboll last week, I was on vacation, but didn't I read a story about him saying that he doesn't like fights in these preseason practices and stuff and training camp, that he's not big on that stuff? I mean, I think I did. It's either him or it was maybe with the Jets head coach, Robert Slott, but I think it was Daboll. So I never understood that, Ben. Never understood these fights and these scrimmages and these practices. What is the point? What is the point?
Scott, we're getting to the prime. Yeah, we're getting the prime point of hearing coaches say these boys just want to hit somebody else. We can't wait for preseason games to start, and maybe that's how we feel here on Football Full Circle as well. That does it for FFC on today's edition of the program, but up next on the Sports Grid Radio Network, it's the Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rideside. Kevin loves his cheese pizza.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.